This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast. This is the next generation of talk. Now, this is the drive at 5. 30 minutes of nonstop talk with Rich Zeoli.
An absolute display of heroism and bravery by the Nashville Police Department yesterday as they encountered and put down the shooter and saved countless lives. And I am just so incredibly impressed and proud and inspired by their bravery. And welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Real pleasure for me to welcome to the show James Smallwood. James is the president of the Nashville Fraternal Order of Police, Andrew Jackson Lodge Number 5. He's also the treasurer for the National Fraternal Order of Police. James, thanks so much for joining me here in Philadelphia.
Yeah, absolutely, Rich. Thanks for having us on.
I saw you on Fox News as well. You did a tremendous job. James, your fellow officers, you and each and every one of them, my God, the heroism, the bravery, the courage.
Well, thank you, Rich. It really means a lot to hear that from you. I got to tell you, watching firsthand, I saw my colleagues charge into the danger while they were taking fire on, and it was just such a proud moment for me to see that everything that we train for, everything that we have always committed to, come into fruition. And it's a horrible, horrible tragedy. And you know, I can't imagine being one of those family members waiting on the other line. But we're just so proud of our officers. They did everything they could. And they went in there and they stopped the threat. And that's what we're trained to do. And that's what we did.
So you do actually train for these kind of scenarios then?
Yeah, absolutely. Every single police officer is trained to mitigate the threat and deal with a mass shooting from various different scenarios. And the lessons we've learned over the years, especially since Columbine, are when there's an active shooter, you go in there and you stop the threat and you don't wait. You get in there and you push the envelope and you get it done. And that's exactly what these officers did. When you watch the body camera, you can see them. They keep encouraging each other. Keep going. Let's go. Let's go. Let's get up there. And as soon as you hear on that body camera the gunfire ring out, those officers start running towards the gunfire without hesitation. They stop clearing rooms and they start running towards the gunfire. And like I said, just so impressive and so proud of their actions.
Yeah, that's exactly. I watched that body cam footage over and over and over again today. I just couldn't take my eyes off it. And yeah, that's exactly right. As soon as they heard, I hear them yell, shots fired, and they run towards it. They just go. I mean, that's the courage, the bravery. Police in this country, they run towards the gunfire. And God only knows how many lives they saved, James, by doing that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I had a conversation with some folks here yesterday after, you know, everything kind of boiled down. And we were talking about that. You know, there's no other profession in the world, with the exception of our brave men and women in the United States military, where people actually run towards the danger. When they hear gunfire, they go running towards it. And the law enforcement officers, they take a stand. They do that. They do it nobly. And they're proud of their profession. And unfortunately, we live in a world where there are far too many people who are ready to criticize those actions instead of understand them. And now we're in a position where we have to show people that there's value in policing. And when you look at this, there's absolutely no question. You cannot question that you have to have law enforcement ready to go, ready to serve, and ready to charge in when people need them the most. And yesterday was a perfect example of that.
Where does that courage come from? Because most people run away from gunfire. Where does that courage inside a police officer come from, James?
Well, that's a great question, and if I knew the answer to that, I think I don't know if I was the person that could answer that question. I think we'd all have our retention and recruitment problem solved. But it certainly takes a special person who wants to do this job. You have to have a servant's heart. You have to have a make the world a better place, and know that you may not make it home at the end of the shift, but everything that you did was to make the world a better place and make it safer. And that's where it comes from. You have that desire, that inner desire to make sure that those folks that are innocent, that need protecting, that need somebody to stand the line between good and evil, are going to have that savior, or that somebody that will run towards them when they need it the most. And I think that's where we all get our courage from, because we know that somebody needs us and we're there to help.
James Smallwood is with me. James is a police officer in Nashville. He's the president of the FOP in Nashville. You tweeted out, and I followed you on Twitter, @James_FOP. When you listen to the body cam footage, and I just retweeted it again, and the cops are saying, keep pushing. Every single Nashville police officer on that scene had the same mentality yesterday. Keep pushing until the threat is gone. And you say, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, we will always come running and keep pushing until we stop the threat. And yet, as we talk about this, and I know because you are the treasurer of the National Fraternal Order of Police, there's still so many people that just want to vilify police officers. Our mutual friend, Captain John Hoyt, Philadelphia FOP Lodge 5, those guys had to deal with an incident over the weekend, of a traffic stop with a guy with a gun, and the cop did everything right, but was still vilified by city council members, looking to grandstand. I mean, this is what cops have to deal with each and every day on the job, in addition to risking their life.
Well, you're absolutely right. The sad truth is, as we've seen, and in perfect example over the last 24 hours, that the men and women of law enforcement are literally willing to lay their lives down to help another. They're willing to run into the gunfight, to take fire as they go in to stop a threat. And unfortunately, there are folks in public office or in public eye that would rather find a way to politicize the police and use them to advance their cause or their narrative or their agenda. And in the process, they villainize and they demonize the very good people who are out there willing to serve the community in this capacity. And it's a shame. Anybody that does that to advance their own agenda rather than to show the truth and promote reality, they ought to be ashamed of themselves. We all have to take a step back, recognize that there are times when we have to take a breath and realize what the facts of the circumstances of a situation are before we draw a conclusion. And if you're in the public eye and you're in public office and you're not even willing to listen to facts before you start spewing your rhetoric, then it's time for you to resign. It's time for you to step away, because you're not helping your community. You're hurting it. And as long as there are good men and women out there who are willing to charge into the danger to help others, we should be cognizant of that fact.
Yeah, well said. So well said. James, when you talk to your fellow officers, the ones who went into the building yesterday, who breached the school and then ultimately took down the shooter, how are they all doing today?
It's interesting. We all prepare for this kind of mentally, like how we're going to deal with these things. And then I talked to both of those officers. They are doing well, but they like we've said so many times already, they ran into a gunfight and they saw things that normal human beings should never see. And those things have been burned into their memories forever. They'll never unsee those things. So those are traumatic incidents, and the actions they had to take even delivered more trauma. So they're going to have to kind of unpack those boxes and work to decompress as they deal with the psychological and physical impacts and ramifications of everything that has taken place. But I can tell you that as the national FOP has taken, so has the local FOP here in our police department. We have a phenomenal behavioral health program and a wellness division. And we're giving them every possible resource we can think of to make sure that they'll be, not only will they be stronger when they get back, but they'll be ready to come back and serve the community again.
And that's Metro Nashville Police Officers Michael Collazo and Rex Engelbert. Am I saying their names right?
Yes, sir.
Wonderful. I mean, they just...
Heroes of the day.
God. I mean, absolutely. And everybody across the country is just so grateful these guys were there, and hoping that every cop will show the kind of courage in a moment like that. But you're right, these guys are going to have to deal with that now. It's a lot, and I can only imagine they overcame their fear. But I watched that body cam footage, and it's it's terrifying to think they turn a corner, they turn a hallway, it could have been a shot coming right towards them. And that has to be going through their head every single second.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, while these two are the officers that we're focusing in on, I want to make sure that we also pay attention to the fact that every single officer that responded to that scene, because when you watch the body camera, you see officers that are in the building holding doors or watching hallways, keeping the building secure as they progress through. Every single officer out there that responded performed phenomenally. They did their jobs. They did what they were supposed to, what they were trained to, and they did it flawlessly. So, and to add to that, you know, the men and women who worked within that school, the teachers, certainly the actions they took to get those kids housed in the classrooms helped prevent further loss of life and further injury. So everybody that was out there, they're all heroes. They all did everything they could, and we have to commend everybody that did everything they could to save lives and prevent further violence.
I'm so glad you mentioned that because, yeah, you do see a number of cops in the video, in addition to the two whose names we all know now. And each and every one of those officers is a hero. I mean, they all worked as a team. They worked as a team together, and they took down the shooter. So it was flawless as far as I could tell.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you, I still have you, James Smallwood, before I let you go. How important is it to train for this and for schools to be prepared for this without traumatizing kids and without, you know, I mean, what's the best way to do that? I've got three kids in school. I, like every other parent, you know, you always hope it never happens in your town, but you also hope to God that the officers who would have to respond are ready for it and that the kids will know what to do and the teachers will know what to do. What's the best way to prepare for that?
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. It's a careful balance we have to strike. There's the stress that we want to avoid putting on our children in schools. There's the trauma we want to avoid them going through that's unnecessary. But at the same time, we want to make sure they're prepared. We want to make sure that they can identify and recognize those threats when they see, hear, or smell them. We want to make sure that they know what to do when those things occur. They can get into the classrooms and lock down. We want to make sure our schools are equipped to deal with these things, whether it be locks on the doors or you know, various other opportunities to make sure that we're secure. And there are a lot of organizations out there who are offering these trainings to our schools. And I can tell you that this Covenant School received that training just a year ago, if I remember right, and what I've read. So I have to say that a lot of the training that they received there has to be attributed to the fact that these teachers recognized what they were hearing. They reacted to what they recognized. They got those kids housed in the classrooms and protected them to the best of their ability. And again, gave the officers the ability to get into the building, stop the threat, and limit any further loss of life. And those two things put together are crucial to make sure that our kids stay safe and that our schools remain safe places for our kids.
Well, listen, my friend, God bless you. Thank you for your hard work, not only in Nashville, but also with the National Fraternal Order of Police as well. You are a great guy, and you know, any friend of Captain John Hoyt's is a friend of mine, so it's an honor to have you on the show today, so thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
James Smallwood, Nashville Fraternal Order of Police, Andrew Jackson Lodge number 5. Stay safe, my friend. Please thank every single one of the officers for all of us.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Scioli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
All right, listen, as we continue here, I want to tell you about my friends at Professor Gatsby's Heating and Cooling, because now spring is here, which is great. And the question is, who do you turn to keep your home comfortable and your HVAC system operating properly? Well, you should call my friends at Professor Gatsby's today. It's easy, fast, and the smart thing to do for your home and for your family's comfort. Right now, it's only $49 to have your HVAC checked up or get a free estimate to replace your system with 0% interest. When it comes to my heating and air conditioning needs, the only company I use at my home is Professor Gatsby's. They are local, family-owned and operated. When I call Professor Gatsby's, they know me. So please, get scheduled today for immediate service. They'll take great care of you. They are honest, and that matters so much. It really does. I mean, that honesty and that integrity, the reason why Matt and Joe, two cousins, started this company is because they knew. I mean, how important it is to have reliable people who can be honest with you. There are 12,000 HVAC contractors in New Jersey alone. So you better make sure you call somebody who you can trust. 856-885-2231. 856-885-2231. Or go to profgatsby.com. That's profgatsby.com. Remember, it's a company I use in my home, Professor Gatsby's Heating and Cooling, profgatsby.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, I want to switch gears a little bit to cover a couple things here. The border situation today on the southern border of the United States of America, Alejandro Mayorkas, the failed Secretary of Homeland Security, was there during the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing. I have a number of different clips here, but the question, of course, is how can we say this is not a crisis? How can we say this? First of all, on the House side, the House had a committee as well. The House Committee on Homeland Security Subcommittee on Oversight and Homeland Security, they had their Homeland Security Crisis Committee hearing. And here is National Border Patrol Council President Brandon Judd with Congressman Dan Bishop of North Carolina. Cut number three.
When you currently look at the staffing levels right now, we have not only are we not deploying as many agents to the field as what we have in the past, we also have a staffing model that is just completely and totally antiquated. When you look at, we have one supervisor to every two agents. That's just it's not something that we can actually deploy agents to the field to actually do the job. Then on top of that, when you pull more agents out of the field, what it does is it requires agents to patrol an area that is just not patrolable with just one single agent. Again, you cannot control an area if you are deploying an agent to patrol for every 30 miles. That agent is responsible for 30 miles. It's impossible to do that, and it's impossible to detect, and it's impossible to quantify how many people are crossing when you do that.
So I fully agree that we need to not rob resources from a particular place in the border to go elsewhere, but then the ranking member's opening statement suggested that the issue is Republicans won't support enough resources. But it seems to me that is, in general, with respect to the open borders policy the Biden administration has pursued, the way they've converted everything into processing people in the country faster, if we apply more resources in general, we're just going to process people into the country faster, and it's not going to secure the border or make it more orderly. But what do you say about that?
No, that's absolutely correct. And when you look at what he's proposed, 300 new agents, that's a drop in the bucket, especially when we're losing agents at a 6.8% attrition rate right now. Again, it's just absolutely unsustainable. We cannot send agents from the northern border to the southwest border and expect to keep control of the northern border.
It is an impossible task that these Border Patrol agents are being asked to do, but it's impossible for a reason. Joe Biden and the Democrats want the border to be open. They want the border to be open. That is a fact. Sorry, somebody sent me something that just made me laugh. I apologize. I'm not laughing at the border being open.
You're doing a show here.
Although it is a freaking joke, but still, it's not why I'm laughing. People distract me during the show all the time. Here's National Border. And by the way, I know I'm doing a show. And what are you doing in there, Henry, out of curiosity? Watching ESPN?
No.
No, he definitely is.
I'm not watching. It's on.
It's on.
It's on. I can't stand the five. It's on. I'm not watching it,
what
though.
Is it about the five that you hate you? I mean.
Just, I think they're just the other side of the View. That's my opinion.
Wow. It's the second highest rated show on Fox News behind Tucker. Why do you hate Dana Perino so much? You know, she's my girl.
I don't even know which one that is.
Dana's the gorgeous blonde who gets me on her show all the time.
I don't have anything against her.
Thank you very much.
Just the other four.
What do you have against Greg Gutfeld? And the fact that he blocked me on Twitter and steals all my stuff and doesn't have me on his show. Well, other than that.
I just don't find him or his show funny.
You're not a fan of Gutfeld?
No.
Interesting. You know, Jimmy Fallon goes on that show a lot.
I think Jimmy's funny.
Jimmy is funny. He had a very funny joke yesterday, as a matter of fact, which I grabbed the audio of. It was very funny. It was about how ESPN put Leah Thomas down for their women's whatever, their Women's History Month, and ESPN brought up Leah Thomas, who is a biological male, of course, a former swimmer at University of Pennsylvania. Jimmy had a funny joke about what Leah Thomas faced in the pool Take a listen.
What is the most surprising thing about the Babylon Bee?
I will tell it to you really quick, two things. First of all, I love the Bee, as you know. Let's not act like they're the only comedy site to get headlines right. CNN has gotten 14 of them right this year alone, which isn't nothing. Hey, girl, the actual impressive thing is not that they're right. It's that they're still funny in an age where the news is already inherently funny. Like, we're living in real satire. Yesterday, you alluded to Leah Thomas. ESPN honored her as one of its women of the year yesterday, a male swimmer. Like, that's already kind of goofy when ESPN is like, she's so brave for getting in that water. Yeah. Like, the only thing she was facing was shrinkage.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Very good. Good job, Jimmy. By the way, Jimmy and Kennedy are doing their tour together, their comedy tour, and they're going to be in Reading, Pennsylvania on May 6th. And at some point, Fela will come on the show and show for tickets at some point. I was going to come on yesterday, but he had a tape for Gutfeld. But is there Laughs and Liberty tour? And it's going to be coming Reading, Pennsylvania. The tickets are on sale now, May 6, 2023, at the Santander Performing Arts Center. You can go to Ticketmaster.com to get tickets. But I will be there for that as well. And I'm looking forward to that. I really am. I think it's going to be a great night and a lot of fun. So there you go. But that was funny. Speaking of funny, let's do the movie clip. Let's do it now, shall we?
Now. Afternoon.
Mystery movie clip. WPHT.
And one time, at band camp, we weren't supposed to have pillow fights, but we had a pillow fight, and it was so much fun. And this one time, we all lost our music, and we were supposed to play the song, but we didn't know it. So we just made it up, and we kept playing.
Wait, can you stop? Can you stop that? Can you stop that? We're not really on the air right now going to do the... Did you screen this? Because I don't trust Henry as far as I can throw him, Matt DeSantis.
I know there was
something. No, that's not that scene. I know what you're thinking. It's not that scene. This is towards the beginning of the movie.
Well, now I'm nervous because he did inquire earlier whether or not he could play a certain word over the air. And I told him, no, absolutely not.
Which I bleeped. But, Rich, I know what you're thinking. It's not that part of the movie.
Well, now I'm nervous.
Maybe we should be filming this for YouTube right now.
Watch Henry get dragged out by security when he's fired.
It's not that part of the movie.
Okay. All right. I had to do my hostly duties and ensure that we were not setting ourselves up for
I wouldn't
the station
do that.
Losing the FCC license, me losing my job, and killing Henry, beating him to death outside in the garage.
No, we're good. I swear.
All right.
I swear
on that. All right. Keep going.
Know what we were doing, and it was so funny. So, you're pissed about something, huh? You know what I do when I'm angry? I just play some Bach on my flute. It's so relaxing. I learned to do that at band camp.
Hold on. You have no idea why I'm angry?
Is it because we have a test tomorrow? Sometimes I get cranky when I know I have a big test to study for.
Yeah.
Think you know what it is? Call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
All right, executive producer Matt DeSantis, tell them what they'll win.
All right, if you call in number 12 and you know the name of that movie, you'll win a pair of tickets to see Adam Sandler live at the Wells Fargo Center on April 14th. Tickets are on sale now at wellsfargocenterphilly.com.
Good luck, caller number 12. Excellent stuff. I also wanted to mention you, too, and I talked about this in my opening today, but this blatant political intimidation of journalist Matt Taibbi, when the IRS showed up at his house the day that he was supposed to testify before the House Committee on the Weaponization of Government, is such an absolute abuse. It's such an absolute abuse. And it's what the government does. It tries to intimidate people as they knock on the door and go, hey, not for nothing. I know you're testifying today. Be a shame if we had to look at those tax returns. The IRS does not go and make house calls. It does not do that. They send letters. They don't go to people's houses. And that's exactly what the IRS did to Matt Taibbi the day that he was supposed to testify in front of Congress on the House Committee on the Weaponization of Government. So either they just have incredible irony over at the IRS, it was a gigantic coincidence they went on that day of all days, or it is the ultimate classic intimidation move, in which case, that's witness tampering. That's trying to intimidate a witness. The government comes, no different than if the mafia knocks on the door and goes, nice car, be ashamed if something happened to it, eh? The IRS shows up at his house to talk about two tax returns, one of which happens to be 4.5 years old. And by the way, they're not disputing anything about money. They're not saying he owes them money. In fact, the IRS owes him money. But it's just a little reminder that now Matt Taibbi, the journalist, who's now there to talk in front of the House Select Committee on the Weaponization of Government about the Twitter files and how the government was out there abusing people and intimidating people, is now being intimidated by the Internal Revenue Service. So again, either it's just the IRS now warm and fuzzy, loves making house calls now, like a doctor, like Doc Hollywood, loves making house calls, or number two, just a giant coincidence that on that day of all days, and in his house of all houses, they decide to visit him, or it's the ultimate witness intimidation. It is the ultimate witness intimidation. How you doing? Oh, I know you're not home right now. You're going to testify in front of the House Select Committee. Be a shame if something happened to this IRS audit, which is in my hands, which I could make go out of my hands, or I could slip under your door, if you know what I'm saying. These people are thugs. The government, the federal government, is a bunch of thugs. They're no different than the mafia. None whatsoever. None. It's just that their tactics are now even more obvious. Their tactics are now more obvious. The fact that they would do this, it just shows you that these people have no hubris whatsoever. And think about this, too. This comes after the Lois Lerner scandal, where for years, Lois Lerner and the IRS were going after conservatives and conservative groups, pro-life groups, conservative groups, and targeting them with audits and everything else. And remember something as well. 87,000 new IRS agents, 87,000 of them coming after moms who sell stuff on Etsy and grandma who has a lawn sale and babysitters and everybody else who lives in the cash world. People that sell concert tickets, because any deposit over $600 is now fair game. And they got $80 million of new funding to pay for these 87,000 new IRS agents. And what you and I both know is that these people love to intimidate the crap out of you. They do. All of government does. The federal government, that's exactly why we have the House Select Committee on the Weaponization of Government. We have that because the government intimidates its citizens. We wouldn't need it if the government was not weaponizing government. But the Democrats mocked it and laughed at it and said, oh, no, we don't need this committee. This is stupid. And then the guy who testifies in front of the committee literally has the government weaponized and trying to intimidate him at his home in Jersey while he's in D.C. by showing up and talk about a 4.5-year-old tax return. And what do you think? Somebody at the IRS just happened that day to go through the T's in the drawer and pull out T, and it's T-A for Taibbi, and look, it just happens to be him. And, oh, let's just randomly look through it. And, oh, look, there's an issue 4.5 years ago. Well, let's go to his house and pay him a visit with no idea who he is. No idea that Matt Taibbi's name is everywhere as journalists bash him left and right for being, quote, Elon Musk's handpicked journalist. And where the hell are the journalists today? Where the hell are these people defending one of their colleagues who's just been intimidated by the federal government? Where are all these people out there screaming about how this is a chilling day for the First Amendment, a chilling day for the freedom of the press? And don't forget, too, this comes as the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, for some reason, now this is their job, has demanded Elon Musk turn over a list of every journalist he provided the Twitter files to. Where's the national corporate media, the Chinese-owned media in this country? Where are they? Screaming about how this, again, is a chilling, dark, chilling day for the First Amendment. I heard that for 4 years of Trump's presidency. Today's the day. The First Amendment is officially destroyed. Journalists are marched off to journalist internment camp. Jim Acosta's got to type from his prison cell with the typewriter used in Shawshank Redemption. This is the day. I heard that for 4 years. 4 years. Now you actually have this happening. You actually have a journalist intimidated on the day of his testimony. Not a word. You have the FTC demanding a list of journalist names. Not a word. Not a word from any of the corporate media defending their own. It's truly pathetic. It really is. 855-839-1210. Shannon has my movie today. Shannon, how are you?
I'm great, Rich. How are you?
Doing well. How are things in Delaware today?
Yeah, not so bad. You know, it was a pretty sunshiny day. Clouds are kind of rolling in, but it's all good.
Have you found corn pop yet?
I have not found corn pop. I can't say that I'm looking for him, but he has not rolled in my way yet.
Well, he was a bad dude, Shannon. So if you see him, please stay away.
I will definitely stay away from the corn pop.
Because we care about you and your safety, Shannon. We don't want anything to happen to you, all right?
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Especially because you're going to see Adam Sandler live at the Wells Fargo Center on April 14th. Are you excited?
I'm super excited. You know, I saw him once in college, like 100 years ago, and this is just really funny and ironic. So it's going to be a fun night.
Yeah, I don't think he was performing 100 years ago.
That's how old I feel
right now.
Yes.
Oh, anyway. Yes. What's the movie today, Shannon?
Oh, well, it's American Pie. Not that, like, that's my genre of movies, but that line is pretty classic, and I was like, holy cow. Okay.
So you had the same fear I had that Henry was going to play that movie clip for us, and the whole station was going to be over.
Well, and I was like, ooh, are they for real? And I was like, oh, my gosh. When I tell my husband that I gave this answer, he's going to be like, what?
WPHG is one of the legacy stations in this country, and we were about to completely end it all in one foul swoop with that movie clip. You felt the same fear I did.
A little bit. I'm glad Henry was on it and, you know, only played the one little part. I think quick thinking there.
Shannon, thanks so much. Enjoy the Adam Sandler show on April 14th at the Wells Fargo Center. Have a great day. Thank you so much for listening. And by the way, what's your favorite Adam Sandler movie?
Oh, my gosh. There's so many. I mean, Waterboy's hilarious. It really is. It's got to be that one, I think. That's a classic.
I got to go Happy Gilmore.
Well, that one's up there, too. It's kind of between those two for me, I guess. I'm old school. You know, like, those were ones that stick with me more than some of the other stuff he's done. Although, oh, shoot, what's the one he did with all the guys where the adult, Anyway.
Oh, the hot tub one?
The one where they go to camp with their wives and their families. That one's
grown
pretty
ups,
hilarious.
Grown-ups.
Grown-ups. Yes, that one is funny.
Now, I'll tell you, if you and your husband want a romantic movie to watch, 50 First Dates with him and Drew Barrymore, who's a psycho, is actually a very funny movie.
That is pretty funny. Now that we're going through this memory lane, wow, there's a lot of good ones.
See that? All right, Shannon, thank you so much. Enjoy the show. Appreciate you listening.
Thank you.
You're welcome. 855-839-1210. Now, 50 First Dates is actually a very, very funny movie. But Drew Barrymore's a whack job. In fact, there's some audio of her going on about how all humans have dignity. And I wanted to take one of those lawn signs in front of the house that says no human is illegal and stab myself in the throat with the stake that goes in the ground just to end it. You know what I mean? Just to make my pain stop.
She has that show now, right? Doesn't she have a talk show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone does. Everyone has a talk show. You know that?
Seriously.
And everyone has a podcast, too. Not everyone gets a million downloads, but they all have a podcast.
We're working on 2 million now.
We're going for 2 mil. Why not? All right, 855-839-1210. Listen, Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Want you to go check them out. You know, I drive a Volvo. I love driving my Volvo, and you will love driving a Volvo, too. And I love hearing stories from my listeners about the great experience you've had getting your Volvo from Cherry Hill Volvo. I'll tell you what, whether it is the S-Class made right here at their plant in South Carolina, like my buddy Dave drives. Dave had a great experience recently when he went to Cherry Hill Volvo. The XC40, like my friends Debbie and Frank drive. And Frank's a big dude, and Debbie told me they have a lot of room to stretch out in the XC40. The XC60, which I drive, or the XC90, which my friends James and Rachel drove, they loved it. They have the third row for their kids, going, making all their trips to the shore. So either way, you're going to have a great experience and you'll love driving. And here's the best part, a $2,023 discount on top of all the other incentives of their in-stock 2023 Volvos. So please, head to Cherry Hill Volvo today for the luxurious experience you deserve and spring into a new Volvo. You'll love the experience, you'll love driving one, and Judith and Yosef will take great care of you. And you're going to love getting a $2,023 discount on top of all the other incentives and all the other rebates as well. Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, where relationships matter.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Some breaking news for you on this Tuesday afternoon. Thanks for being here. The Manhattan grand jury is not expected to hear additional evidence in the Trump case this week. That just came out now, TheHill.com reporting. The Manhattan grand jury considering former President Trump's involvement. The 2016 hush payment is not expected to hear additional evidence in the probe this week, according to a source familiar with the matter. The grand jury is not expected to convene Wednesday and will meet Thursday to consider a different case, according to the source. The plans were first reported by NBC News. The grand jury has been hearing evidence about a $130,000 hush payment that Trump's personal attorney and fixer, Michael Cohen, made to adult film star Stormy Daniels shortly before the 2016 election, as she was prepared to go public with a story about the sexual encounter with Trump's decade, blah, 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 blah. So the jury was has tended to meet on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Jurors hear more than one case usually while they are impaneled, and the timeline remains fluid as the proceedings continue behind closed doors. On Monday, former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker was last seen leaving the building where the grand jury meets. A key figure in the probe, Pecker purchased the rights to embarrassing stories about Trump without ever planning to publish them, a practice known as catch and kill. I have a friend who's very good at that, by the way, catch and kill. He knows who I'm talking about. But Pecker reportedly declined to pay Daniels to buy her silence, telling Cohen to arrange the payment directly, which he ultimately did. Outside legal observers suggest Trump's reimbursement of Cohen could lead prosecutors to seek charges of falsifying business records, blah, blah, blah. Well, as I talked to John Yoo at 4 o'clock today, that is podcast for you. This is not a federal, this is a federal case. You know, the old saying my dad used to tell me when we were kids all the time was, let's not make this a federal case. Well, this 100% should be a federal case, talking about campaign finance violations. And so in that sense, then, this case should absolutely be dealt with by the feds and not by the state of New York, which is why Professor John Yoo says this case needs to be thrown out. And if it ever if there's even an indictment, Trump should appeal the indictment, go right up to the United States Supreme Court and fast track this because New York State has no jurisdiction in this matter. DailyWire.com says legacy media outlets are upset that police in Nashville misidentified the gender of the biologically female shooter who killed six, including 3 9-year-old children, Monday morning at a Christian school. USA Today wrote in a tweet update that, quote, police on Monday afternoon said that the shooter was a transgender man. Officials had initially misidentified the gender of the shooter. The New York Times also issued a statement attempting to clear up confusion about the shooter's gender, and they said the following, quote, there was confusion later on Monday about the gender identity of the assailant in the Nashville shooting, the Times said. Officials had used she and her to refer to the suspect who, according to a social media post and a LinkedIn profile, appeared to identify as a man in recent months. The shooter was a biological man who identified, who identified as a man. Throughout the day in press, and I'm already noticing the story is going away. I'm already noticing the story is vanishing. Once they've got over the initial gun control and all the other things that, of course, they're going to say, the story is going to go away. It's like that Las Vegas shooting years ago. You remember that one? That just mysteriously, everybody stopped talking about it and that was the end of it. I'm noticing that with this story. I really am. I'm seeing that. Suddenly it's just going away. It just magically begins to disappear as these things go. And you know why that is? Because as of right now, we don't have a manifesto. And that manifesto is going to be everything right there. That is going to be everything. Liz Cheney, who's a vile, vile person, said the following when it comes to Nashville schools. Focus on the Nashville shooting. Focus on gun violence in schools, not banning books. Womp, womp. Nobody's banning books, idiot. Schools choosing which books to put in their curriculum is not a book ban. That's a choice they're making as far as curriculum goes. Several calls have been to investigate the shooting as a hate crime as of right now, or domestic terrorism. As of right now, according to a breaking news story on the Daily Wire, the FBI is not treating the Nashville shooting as domestic terrorism. The FBI's domestic terrorism, they define this as violent criminal acts committed by individuals and or groups to further ideological goals stemming from domestic influences such as those of a political, religious, social, racial, or environmental nature. You know what I think is happening right now? It's a cover-up. Here's what we know. They have this manifesto. They had it yesterday. We're not getting it. We'll probably never get it. We'll probably never see this thing. And I know what's in there, and you know what's in there, too. Insane, angry, leftist, lunatic ramblings about Christians and conservatives and white men and cis men and heteronormative men and blah, blah, blah from a psychopath who did this for a political slash social slash ideological slash religious reason. Look, the fact that the shooter is trans does not make them a killer. I'm not suggesting now that that's what motivates somebody. If they're trans, they become a killer. But I am saying that the fact that the shooter's trans in this case is absolutely motive, because they obviously have hatred for people that have policies they don't agree with, which makes this a political attack, which makes this an act of domestic terrorism. Or then don't call it domestic terrorism then if you don't want to, but then you can't call all the other things domestic terrorism either. I think it's an overused term anyway. So then if this isn't, then none of those things are either. If it was terrorism, we would have federal jurisdiction. Given that Nashville Metro was leading the investigation, I think you'd take a lot from that, said a spokesperson for the Memphis field office of the FBI. I'm fine with the Metro PD having jurisdiction. They've done a phenomenal job here every step of the way. I'm fine with that. And I don't need this to be raised to a federal level. I'm not asking for that. But that's what seems to be the process here and all these things where it suddenly does go and they do make it a federal case and they do put it in the hands of federal law enforcement and they label everything as domestic violence, domestic terrorism. And you know, we've talked about this in the past, how we have these FBI whistleblowers and they come forward. And they say that the FBI, it's all about how they want domestic violent extremism, right? They want everything to be about DVEs, domestic violent extremism. And the FBI whistleblowers go and they say, we don't have it. So we're making things up. We're doubling cases. We're doing all these things to try to meet the numbers, but the numbers are not there. My point is that knowing that that is the goal of the FBI, this would absolutely fit under the mandate of finding domestic violent extremism, if my suspicion is correct, and that the shooter was motivated out of political ideology or hatred of Christianity or both or social ideological change or everything that meets the definition. So then why would this then not be treated as domestic violent extremism? Because it's not a white dude with a flannel shirt and a MAGA hat and a don't tread on me flag. And if it was, the FBI would have been there yesterday. But this is a woman who identifies as a man with all kinds of crazy, insane writings in that manifesto. I'm telling you, I'm not wrong about this. My spidey sense is as good as anybody's when it comes to this stuff. Probably better. It's very rare that I'm wrong when it comes to this stuff. And I don't think that is any great credit to me. I think you know that too. If it was just maps and everything, why wouldn't they release the manifesto? Why wouldn't they let us see it? What are they waiting for? Really, what's the big secret then? Police chief comes out and goes, yeah, there's some maps in there and other things like that. All right, so tweet it out. Show it to us. A Daily Wire reporter has been suspended from Twitter over the story about the Trans Day of Vengeance, which was scheduled for the same week as the Nashville shooting. Luke Rosiak, an investigative reporter for the Daily Wire, was suspended from Twitter on Tuesday after he posted a link to a story about activists scheduling a transgender day of vengeance the same week of the shooting at a Christian elementary school in Nashville, Tennessee. And Twitter has kicked him off Twitter. Why? I thought we're not doing this anymore on Twitter. I thought we stopped doing this where we stopped censoring people for things we don't like about them and things that they're saying. Why is this happening? Explain this to me. He was told he must delete the original post to regain access to his account. He appealed the decision, observing that he was not advocating for violence, but rather stating a fact and noting disapprovingly that others had been calling for violence. The Trans Radical Activist Network indeed retains its account on Twitter. And the Trans Radical Activist Network is the group behind this Trans Day of Vengeance. Vengeance. Matt DeSantis, what is the definition of vengeance? Would you be kind enough to look that up for me? The definition of the word vengeance.
All right. So the dictionary definition is... Hold on. Look at the exact definition. Him. All right. Punishment inflicted or retribution exacted for an injury or wrong.
Say it one more time.
That is punishment inflicted or retribution exacted for an injury or wrong.
Sounds peaceful.
It does not sound peaceful.
That sounds peaceful to me. Henry, what do you think?
It could go either way, I think.
How about the scene in The Batman, which is, it's a good movie. I don't love it. It's good, though. Robert Pattinson surprised me as Batman, but they took this from the comics. Batman's beating the hell out of the guys, this gang, and he's beating the crap out of these guys, just pummeling them. And they go, who are you? And he looks at him, he goes, I'm vengeance. That's great. That's a great line by Batman, don't you think?
It's a good movie.
It's not a great line by the Trans Day of Vengeance, though, because it implies violence, does it not?
I think you make a pretty compelling argument.
Like, Batman's beating the hell out of these guys, and it's raining, and he's got the bat suit on, and they go, who are you? And he looks at him, he goes, I'm vengeance. Oh, great.
That was a great scene.
Yeah, pull it up. Can you pull it up for me?
All right, hold on.
And then the Penguin calls him vengeance later on. The only, who's the guy that played him again? What's his name?
Colin Farrell?
Yeah, Colin Farrell, who can't act. He can't.
He's just nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah, but he's not a good actor. But he did do a good job as Oswald Cobblepot, the Penguin, in the Batman movie. But he at one point, he yells at Batman and he goes, hey, vengeance! I like that, too. That's good. Tell me when you have it, Henry. We're pulling it up on the YouTube now. Oh, and by the way, what's the definition of a starfish while you're there? Can you tell me that?
A starfish?
A starfish, yeah. Well, I'm having a debate with somebody about what that means.
Starfish definition.
Yeah, starfish. Yeah, I was president of my fraternity, just for the record. Just for the record, some people are questioning my college bona fides because I texted so Joe Concha, who went to Maryland, and he's on vacation with his family, and he posted a picture of him and his wife. And I said, did you marry a terp? And he said, no, she's a Hoya. I said, well, you outkicked your coverage. Enjoy your vacation.
All right, here we go. It's a marine echinoderm with five or more radiating arms.
So the arms do move.
Yes.
It doesn't just lie there, then. It does something. Are they getting killed by the wind?
Yeah, they have tube feet for locomotion.
Thank you. Are they getting killed by the wind turbines as well?
I didn't see anything, right? I can't imagine that they're in a better position thanks to the wind turbines.
Speaking of whales, Chris Christie was in New Hampshire, and he thinks that he's got a chance of beating Trump for president. I got a wind turbine to sell him if he thinks that he can beat Trump for president of the United States. He's polling at 1%. I think he's still in cahoots with Trump. That's the only reason he'd run, just to help Trump win the nomination. You're not going to beat him, but you might draw votes, I don't know, from other people that might stop Trump. So I would think that that would help Trump.
I've got the scene if you want it.
Yes, please.
Okay. It's a warning.
The hell are you supposed to be?
See, now I want to go home and watch Batman. But point is, does that sound to you like vengeance is a kind word? Batman wasn't saying that when he was delivering flowers.
Based on all those blows he was raining upon that dude, it doesn't sound very nice to me.
There's a lot of blood for peace interactions.
I mean, he pummels that guy. Just pummels him and pummels him and pummels him again, and then one more time, and then a couple more times for good measure, and then one more time to make sure the other dude's looking, and then he looks up and he goes, "I'm vengeance," and then he just beats him again. It's great. Again, vengeance does not denote kindness and warm and fuzzy feelings. If it did, Batman would not call himself vengeance, because all the criminals would be like, "Vengeance? We love vengeance. It's so fun." 855-839-1210. So that's why the Trans Day of Vengeance denotes violence. And the fact that this was scheduled for the same week of this, I think, where you've got people there who are referencing Molotov cocktails and things, I think should be looked into. And if the FBI is so hell-bent on making everything a domestic violent extremism case, certainly sounds like this would qualify. So why isn't it? Oh, well, we know. 855-839-1210. Listen, my great friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding, I saw my friends Stephanie and Matt in studio with me on Friday for our Travis Manning Foundation Radiothon. Their incredible generosity and yours helped us meet our goal and exceed it by tens of thousands of dollars, as we are $92,000 and counting. Well, Emmons Roofing and Siding are the best in the business when it comes to roofing, siding, windows, and doors for your home or commercial property. Now, maybe you have a place at the shore. Winter weather is brutal on shore properties, so have Emmons check out your shore property. And they have a special offer for each and every one of my listeners, an inflation relief discount of 10% off. 10% off roofing, siding, and Anderson window replacements. And because my friends Stephanie and Matt know the times are tough, they are continuing to offer each and every one of you 12 months same as cash financing. That's 12 months to pay to give yourself peace of mind. So if you're in the market for a new roof, roof repairs, siding, or Anderson windows, give Emmons a call today for a free estimate at 856-885-6677, 856-885-6677, or visit emmonsroofing.com today. Take advantage of their inflation relief discount and 12-month financing. Remember, Emmons is the company I used at my home, the company I trust. And soon they're going to do a new siding project for me. I'm very excited. So go with the company that I trust. 10% off, 12 months, same as cash financing. You can't beat it. EmmonsRoofing.com.
I'm vengeance.
Rich Cioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle.
vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.